Welcome, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. It's so good to see all of you. If you're visiting with us, you are a special guest, and you're probably wondering, what am I doing, right? So I used to go running. I don't do that anymore. I'm winded here, but you guys all heard about the runner's high, right? And how you run, and after a while you get a runner's high, and you just kick in, and you feel this adrenaline kick in, and you keep going, and you're so happy, you have this euphoric experience. I'm gonna let you know, I've never had that. So I asked one of the guys that was running. I said, so how do you get that? He said, it's not how, it's when. And so I'm like, okay, well, when do you get that? When do you get that runner's high? He said, usually it's after the 7th mile to the 9th mile. And I'm saying, that's why I've never had it. That's why I've never had the runner's high. I've never ran plus 7 mile, right? And so I think sometime this month, we've been talking about faith. We're talking about faith. And this morning, I want to talk about faith that will go the distance. You know, we talk about our walk with God, and it is a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a long run. It's a long journey. You know, in every marathon, people drop out. They get tired. They get cramped. They drop out. Some people are hanging on you. And you carry these weights. You carry people along with you. And some people tell you to stop, stop, stop. We're getting tired. We're going nowhere. And you get distracted, right? You get distracted sometimes when you're running this marathon. You get distracted. You see people quitting left and right. Or you might not even know where to go. You're like, do I turn left? Do I turn right? Do I go straight? Maybe I'm on the wrong road. I need to turn back. So this is a marathon and not a sprint. But I want to let you guys know we are in a spiritual war. Whether you know it, whether you believe it or not, we are in a spiritual war. And in a war, unfortunately, there will be casualties. Any war will have casualties. The question today is, am I going to be a casualty or am I going to make it home? Will I be a casualty of war or will I make it home? You know, it says here, it says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Jesus says, when I come back, will I find faith? Will you still have faith when I come back? Will there be faith on earth when I come back? And I want Jesus to say that about us, that I see faith in that brother and that sister. They're still faithful. But in order to have faith that would go the distance, I believe there are three crucial things that we got to have, that we got to understand, that it has to be ingrained in us in order for us to have faith that would go the distance. Turn your Bible over to John chapter 3. That would be our text there, John chapter 3. Let's read together. John chapter 3, verse 16. We'll start there. We know this scripture very well. We see it at football games, at baseball games. But let's read it together. Verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. My first point here that I think we crucially need to understand is we have to see the heart of God. We have to see the heart of God. Verse 16 through 17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Your life is a love story. Every one of you, this is a love story from God. The God of all gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the bright morning star, the Ancient of Days, the Lion of Judah, he who lives in unapproachable light, Jehovah Elohim, the great I Am, is so passionately in love with you. He's so in love with you that he gave his Son so that if we believe in him, we too will have eternal life. You're here not by accident. If you're here, if you can hear my voice, it is not by accident that you're here. God wants you to be here, and he wants to let you know he loves you a million times. He loves you so much. He understands, and he knows your frustration. Some of you are going through very difficult times. He understands. He sees your struggle. He sees your pain. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, he sees your pain. He sees your brokenness. He sees your despair. He sees your silent cries and silent pleas. See, God loves you so much. It says here that he gave up Jesus so that we too can have a new life. You know, as parents, we love our kids. Who in here have kids? You love your kids. There's nothing you would do for your kids. Now imagine if you take your kids and we go down to the Georgia State Penitentiary and we go down to where death row is at and you say, "Hey, look, I'm going to trade my kids for one of these inmates on death row." No parents in their right mind would do that. This hard murderer person here is condemned to die. You would not take your kids and say, "Hey, let's switch place. You go out, you go free, my kids will pay your penalty." But that's what God did for us. We were on death row because of our sin. We were destined to be forever away from God. We're destined to die. And yet God took his Son, Jesus, and said, "Hey, look, I'm going to take him and replace him, and you go free. And he'll take your place." And they crucified him on the cross. That's how much God loves us. In order for us to have faith that would go the distance, we have to see the heart of God. We have to see, we have to understand God's heart for us. Romans 8 here says, And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You know, I stake my life on this. It says God works for the good of those who love him in all things, not some things, in all things. He works for the good of those who love him. So my job is to just love him. He will work it out. This is my life. I stake my life on this. All I need to do is love him. He's working things out. We may not see it. Just like our parents, we're working things out behind our kids, behind the scene. They don't even know what the trouble that we go through to get what they need. They don't know. All they get is this. I got it. They don't know what we did. The time that we sacrificed, the money that we had to go sacrifice to get it, the time that we had to go and get this thing for them, and they don't see it. See, God is doing that for us. God is doing that for us. We don't understand it. We just get it and say, hey, I got it. But God is working for the good of those who love him. We have to understand the heart of God. He loves you so much. Did not spare his son for you. The second point here is believe in Jesus. Verse 18, let's read again. Verse 18. It says, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only son. It says, if you believe, there is no condemnation. You're free. We are free. In John chapter 6 here, in verse 28, says they said to him, what must we do to do the works of God that God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. The work of God is to believe in the one he has sent. Now, true belief causes action. If I say, hey guys, there's a lion down the hallway here. True belief, well, you guys would rush out the door into your car and lock your door, right? If you didn't believe that, you would be, nah, I'm going to just keep sitting here. See, if we believe in Jesus, there's got to be action. What you can tell what people believe by their actions. What you do will tell us, do you really believe that or not? Matthew 7 here, Jesus was serious about what you believe and what you do with your belief. Matthew 7 here says, now everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. I read that and it sends chills through my bone. He says, evildoers. That's not a nice thing to say. That's not a politically correct thing to say. He says, you guys, you think about these guys, they were prophesying. They were driving out demons and performing miracles. Who of us can drive out demons and perform miracles? Yet these guys were doing that. And Jesus said, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Are we doing his will? Or are we just simply showing up, pat ourselves on the back and feel good about ourselves, but we're not really doing his will? I don't want to ever hear this from Jesus, that when we get to heaven and he says, John, get away from me, you evildoers. That'd be the worst day ever. But the truth is, you cannot and will not model what you truly don't believe. You cannot and will not model what you truly don't believe. We talk about the one another relationships. We talked about how important that is and how we need to be consistent with each other and to be with each other weekly or biweekly. It's important. We all know that it's important. But are we doing it? Are we doing that? Are we engaging that? Or is it just some that are doing that? We will not, and we cannot and will not model what we truly don't believe. We think about our kids, our children ministry. They're always in need for teachers. That's the one thing that I hate so much being in the ministry is that I cannot be with those kids. I want to be with those kids. I love teaching those kids. Amen. We get on the floor and we wrestle and we, you know, they all jump on me and we just have a good time. But yet we still lack people to meet that need. We still lack teachers. You cannot and will not model what you don't believe. Do you believe that our children are our future? They're going to be our leaders one day. They're going to be up here preaching. They're going to help us. They're going to teach us. What we don't understand is we got to invest now with our kids. We need more teachers. Talk to Scott. Talk to, you know, there's a sign up back there. This should never be a problem. This should never be a problem because we believe that they are our future. Do you believe that? Being a part of body is very important. We think about, you know, we need that. We need each other. Midweek, we need to be here. When the body meets, I want to be there. When church is that, I need to be there. I need to be there early so I can encourage people. I want to meet the needs of those who are in need. We know that. But are we modeling that? Do we really believe that? You know, we talk about our community is so important. If you guys have not been coming to me, we've been talking about community and how important it is to be part of the community. And not just to be in a community, but to be emotionally involved in the community. Right. To be emotionally invested in this community of believers. It is crucial that whether you have kids or not, whether you're a prime timer or a campus or singles, we need you. We need you in the game. We need us to build this community. It's not just about being a consumer. Like, I need this, so if it's not meeting my needs, then I'm not going to come. No. This is a community. We need everybody involved. We need people to adopt single moms and their family. We need you to take a teens or middle schoolers. Take them out to have, you know, a Coke or something. Get some donuts. Spend some time with them. Talk to them. Tell them about God. Tell them about what God has done for you. It will change their life. We need our community to be vibrant. The world needs Jesus. But sometimes I think we love our comfort and our control and our convenience too much. Let me give you some stats on Gwinnett County here. Gwinnett County, this is from the AJC 2017. The population of Gwinnett County is over 920,000 with a 5.26% growth. That means we're going to hit 1 million people pretty soon. Gwinnett County is right up close to 1 million people. It is the second largest in population county in the state of Georgia. We are the second largest county as far as population in the state of Georgia. We are larger than 76 counties in Georgia combined. Gwinnett County is population-wise has, you know, 76 counties combined to be equal to us. And in 2010, 2016, the growth rate, here are some of the cities in Gwinnett County that has jumped so high in our growth rate. Grayson at 46.4. And those of you who live in Grayson, you know. They're building all kinds of stuff in Grayson. There's subdivision right now is being built. Braselton is at 35.9. Suwannee is at 26.48. So you see, Gwinnett County is growing. We're going to reach the million mark. But if we're going to change the world, if we believe that we're going to change the world, if we're going to be a movement of God, we have to be willing to move. We can't. I'm just going to go work and come home and plop down and eat dinner and watch TV and go to bed. And tomorrow I'll do the same thing. You got to be able to get out of your house to meet people, to get with people. You can't just stay home. How are we going to reach 920 million people in Gwinnett County? 920,000 people in Gwinnett County. If we're just going to be at home. See, do you believe that? Do you believe that God can use you? You know, I really don't enjoy going to see, I love it, but when I go to, football games or baseball games or basketball, it's hard for me because as I look out, you see the mass crowd. I don't know about you. This is my thinking. How are we going to reach all of these people? There's only me sitting in this chair. How am I going to meet all of these people? And I get overwhelmed. Like Gwinnett County, we're going to reach a million people soon. How are we going to reach all these people? And then there's a voice in my head. I have a lot of voice in my head. But this one always gets me. It says, one person at a time. And I'm like, okay, I can do that. I can't do this, but I can do one person at a time. And I think that's how we have to think, one person at a time. I have to invest my life, my time, my effort, my money so that people can know God. I don't know about you, but my dream for Gwinnett County is I want every subdivision in Gwinnett County to have a Family Disciples there. That's my dream. I'm crazy, right? That's my dream. That every subdivision, I don't know how many subdivisions there are in Gwinnett County. There are probably hundreds of thousands of subdivisions. But imagine if we have one disciple in each subdivision. And we influence that subdivision. And we influence this subdivision. And pretty soon, we start having families that are coming together. I think about my new friend, Daniel Ruiz Diaz. He's getting baptized today. He's getting baptized today. He's my new best friend. We've been studying the Bible. And God wants to heal our families. God wants to bring our family together. And I told Alicia, I'm like, Alicia, God has heard your prayers. That you have not stopped praying. And now today, you will have somebody to be with you who's joined to you. Not only is he a husband, but he's your brother as well. How amazing is that? That's my dream. My dream is every subdivision, we have disciples there. I may be crazy, but that's what I'm praying for. You know, will Christianity die? If we all left, will Christianity die with you? If we all went away and you were the only one left, will Christianity continue? Or will it die out? Because you don't talk to your coworkers at work. You work with them years, but they don't even know your disciples. You do things and they're curious, but they don't know who you are. You don't share with them. And I know I'm guilty of that. And I'm afraid, I'm ashamedful that many people that I work with, I didn't take the time to get to know them and to share the gospel with them. But I'm pleading with all of us, share with your coworkers. Tell them. If we can peel off this floor and see hell, we would be so urgent to tell our friends. You cannot go there. I will not let you go there. And if we open this thing and we see heaven, we will be so in tune. We will, you got to see this. You got to come. We will beg them. That's the spiritual warfare that we're involved in. You know, I have here, so Jesus did not save you so that you can live just a mediocre life. Who wants to live a mediocre life? Jesus didn't die on the cross so that we can live mediocre, have a mediocre life. Whatever happens, happens. Brothers and sisters, Jesus did not die so that we can live a mediocre life. Believe in Jesus. But when you believe in Him, it's going to cause you to have actions. It's going to cause you to do something. If you truly believe, it will show. The last point here is coming to the light. Verse 19. Let's read it again. Verse 19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of the light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds would be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he does has been done through God. It takes faith to come into the light. It's easy to stay in the dark. Nobody knows me. I don't want to expose everything that, you know, I've done. It's easy, it's comfortable to stay in the dark. It takes a lot of faith to come into the light. It says, here's the good, the bad, and the ugly, right here. John chapter 8, it says here, to the Jews who have believed Him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciple, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We want to be free, right? Nobody wants to be enslaved. We want to be free. But in order for that to be, for you to be free, it says, you have to know the truth. You have to hold to His teaching. You have to embrace His teachings. You have to embrace His commands. His commands are good for us. We have to embrace it. Whoever lives by the truth will come into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done through God. But I believe that so many of us, we live in this inverted gospel, right? This is the inverted gospel here. It says, you live your life the way you want to, and you just invite Jesus to come along. This is the inverted gospel. We live. So many of us, we live this way. We just go on our way, do what we want to do, and we just invite Jesus to come along. Come along, Jesus, as I do my thing. That's not the true gospel. The true gospel is I'm following Jesus. I'm trying to be like Him. Wherever He goes, I'm right next behind Him. I'm following Him. He's not following me. Come into the light. When we don't follow Jesus, we're in the dark. How do we know where we're going? Jesus is the light. I am the light of the world. Follow the light. Go to the light. Don't stay in the darkness. Sometimes we get so close to the world. We try to get so close to the world without going over. We're like, well, if I can just be at this bar or whatever, I can share my faith with people in the bar. Okay? Maybe you can. But if you're struggling with alcoholism, if you're struggling with these things, I don't think you should be anywhere near a bar. If you're struggling with pornography, if you're struggling with, you know, anger, why do you get so close to the edge? You got to flee. It says flee. Run away. Don't get close to it. See, this is what I'm talking about. The inverted gospel. Jesus, you come along. And I'm going to get to as close as I can to the edge here without falling over. And the truth is, many times we fall over. We fall over and we don't, you know, and then we're like, well, I'll try better next time. We feel guilty. And we can't come into the light because we feel guilty. And so we stay in the dark. And when you stay in the dark, your heart gets hard. Your heart gets hard. And anybody who says anything to you is, that brother, that sister, they just rub me wrong. Because your heart is hard. You can't even hear. You're not even listening to the message anymore. You're listening to the messenger. And you get all wrapped up in the messenger and you miss out on the message. That God is trying to wake you up. Right. See, our heart would get hard when we live in the dark. In order for our faith to go the distance, we got to come into the light. Yeah. And that's why it's crucial that we get one another relationship right. We got to get with each other and say, hey, brother, hey, sisters, here's what's going on in my heart. Help me. Because you know we all have dysfunctions. Yeah. I say this all the time. We have everybody here carry dysfunctions. You may be, I have no dysfunction. Your dysfunction is you don't know you have dysfunctions, right? We all carry dysfunction, whether we believe it or not. It's we have to help. We have to let our brothers and sisters, the church, strain out our dysfunctions so that we can be more like Jesus. But if we don't have these relationships, how are we going to get help? How can we get help? How can we come out of the dark into the light? Here's the truth. Just because you come to church does not guarantee that you're going to heaven. Just because you're part of the ACOCG, you're on the roll, doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean that, you know, well, I'm part of this church or that church. That guarantees me going to heaven. None of it. It's about your relationship with God. It's about, are you dealing with your sin? Are you trying to be like Jesus? Or are you just coming to church, feel good, and go home and do nothing? Brothers and sisters and friends, I pray that that's not us. I pray that we are engaged with God. I pray that our faith will go the distance. We have to decide now that our faith will go the distance. We have to see God's heart, how much He loves us. He did not withhold His Son from us. We have to believe in Jesus. When we believe in Jesus, it will cause us to have action, to see those around us. And then we have to come into the light. And not live in the darkness anymore. Because I believe if we just focus on these three things, that our faith will make the distance. That our faith will last until we see Jesus face to face. I can't wait to see Jesus. I don't know what He looks like. But I can't wait to see Him face to face. That would be amazing. That's what I look forward to. You know, my daughter and I were sitting at Chick-fil-A couple of weeks ago, and I told her, I'm like, I can't wait to, today would be a great day for Jesus to come. Today would be a great day. Wouldn't it be a great day for Jesus to come right today? She looks at me and she's like, Dad, for you. She's like, I want to live. I want to experience. I'm like, okay, I get you. But is that your heart? Are you wanting to meet Jesus one day? I can't wait. I want all of us to meet Jesus. We can talk, you know, we get up there, we'll reminisce about the time when we're down here. We'll talk about the times that we've gone through, the hard times. And then we realize God was working it out for all of us. The difficult times. God was working behind the scene. And now we get to be with Him forever and ever. God bless. Thank you.